This is IJA Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:36 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, jumping straight to a roll call. Nathan Wakefield is present. Louis Skiradek?
Present.
Ian Michael Lowen?
Present.
Noel Yee? Mr. Yee is absent. Marvin Ong? Marvin Ong is absent. Shabela Schwab?
I'm here.
Delightful. Shabela is present. Scott Kane?
Hello.
Thank you, Scott. Mike Sullivan? Mr. Sullivan is not on the call at current. Afton Benson?
I'm here.
Kick it. Aaron Stevens? Ms. Stevens is absent. Martin Frost? Martin is not here. Dan Holdman? Dan is not here. Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Cool. All right, guys. Jumping straight to approval of tonight's agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
So, Scott, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Scott. Do we have a second?
This is Shabela. I'll second.
I think Shabela edged out on that one. Moving to a discussion. Any discussion about tonight's agenda? Okay, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Agenda approved. Moving on to approval of last month's board minutes. Would someone like to make this motion?
Ian here. I'll make the motion.
Delightful. Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second for this?
Shabela.
Did it say Martin left? Was he here?
I said Martin left.
Yeah, that's what
I said. When did he join? Wow, that's trippy. Okay. Shabela seconds the minutes. Any discussion about the approval of last month? Okay, Martin Frost has joined. The very elusive Mr. Frost. Hey, Martin. Any discussion about the approval of last month's minutes? Okay, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of February's minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes approved. Moving straight to reports. We begin with the festival report from our treasurer, Afton Benson. Afton, the floor is yours.
Oh, hooray. Okay, so nothing's changed since the last meeting. We paid Jim, and we updated the numbers, which, if you look at the bottom, you're going to vote on. So I have, hang on, sorry, I'm driving. So like 12,000 above? That sound about right, according to what I wrote down?
yep, 12,000.
So yeah, thank you. Yeah, so that's good. And everything that... P&L-wise, for year-end, I confused Dennis by when our board meeting was, apparently. So he is going to have those to me as soon as he possibly can. And what I'll do is I'll just send a board email to everyone so that it's all ready to go to vote on for the next meeting. Additionally, he said he should be done with our 990 for myself and Nathan to review by the end of the week, which would be really great.
I was just about to ask about that.
Yeah, I figured I'd do a little follow-up on that one.
Glad you're on top
I'm also
of that.
In the throes of tax season, so I'd like to review that before it's real late. There's not too much happening on the financial side. I mean, they've got their festival numbers coming in, and I see a lot of PayPal statements coming through for early registration, so that's always good.
Great. Any questions for Afton? All right.
Thank you, Afton. Thank you.
Short and sweet.
No
Thank
problem.
You very much, Edison. Very nice. Okay, so moving on. I had the final festival report with Jim Maxwell. Mr. Maxwell is on the call, but I understand you were not able to prepare a report. Is that correct, Jim?
That is correct. I apologize. I just have not been able to sit down and sort of coalesce all my thoughts onto paper. One thing I have done is I've made it through most of the post-festival survey, and I've got all of that sort of compiled into a document that I'll send to the board in the next week or so. But generally speaking,
Hey, Mike. Continue, Jim.
The general gist is most everybody rated the festival pretty high. There were certainly some gripes that they had, not least of which was the heat and the isolation of the city itself. But generally speaking, everybody thought it was a fine location. They rated the venue very high. And the festival overall seemed to get pretty high remarks, but I'll send that off in a few days. I've just got a couple of more of those spreadsheets that we download from your membership to sort of sift through, and I'm trying to sort of summarize all of the comments, because they really get into the weeds in terms of talking about every little minutia of the festival, and so I'm trying to keep it as broad and general as possible to have some idea. I think my overall sense is that the festival did go well. We were profitable, but as you know, that's only because of the $45,000 grant that we got from the city of El Paso. There's some of that expense that we spent we decided to spend after we knew we got the grant. So if the grant had not come through, then it probably would not have been as great a festival. And it definitely would have lost money, but it would not have lost as much as the amount that we spent based on getting the grant. Part of that was like $7,000 right off the top was agreed to spend on billboard advertising, which I'm not sure how effective that was. But since they'd given us the grant, we said, sure, go ahead. The other part was things like we added an extra banquet event, and that was the Friday reception, the happy hour reception, which wouldn't have happened without the grant. And a couple of other things, but the grant was very late coming, so I can't say that that all of it was contingent on the grant. Does anybody have any questions for me? And I do apologize for not being prepared with an actual report.
I guess the one thing I'd like to say here, Jim, is do you want to treat, I guess, tonight as kind of your, final Q&A wrap-up, and then you can submit us a report that we'll just, review at the next meeting? Or do you also want to join us for the next meeting with a report, and then we can kind of go through, like, the meat and potatoes of it then? Like, what's your preference?
I can do either way. I certainly don't mind calling in next month. Assuming it's going to be the last Monday of the month, it looks like I'm free.
It'll either be the last Monday or the second to last, because it depends on availability.
Yeah, at this point, that should not be a problem.
Okay, board members, what do you think? Do you want to kind of, do you feel prepared enough that you want to go through the bulk of the review tonight, or would you prefer to defer that until next meeting, after we have a report?
This is Scott. What we should do is get the report and look at it, and if we think as a group we have questions, we could ask the Jim call in, and that if not, and we're satisfied that we don't have to do that. We wouldn't have to decide that right now.
That sounds great.
That sounds good, yeah.
My only My only comment with that is if we have existing questions about, like, the financial side or some aspects of the festival, if we want to dig into those now, because if we're happy with reports next time, and then Jim's not on the call, we won't have that opportunity. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so certainly, if anyone has questions, I'd raise them now that you know of, but that the report may raise additional questions or may satisfy us once we look at it.
Okay. That being the case, let's kind of do a Q&A with Jim, because I think this is actually a pretty good meeting to do it since Dan's not going to be joining us, but I think it'll be a little shorter. So, yeah, we can do that, and then we'll get the report at the next meeting, and if need be, Jim said he'd avail himself. So we can do it like that. That sounds reasonable. Okay, so just a couple questions here, Jim. Could you talk a little bit about the brunch and the amount of money that we went over on the spending with that and how that kind of played out?
Sure. Well, you know, I had mentioned at the very beginning that the brunch was very logistically hard to sort of hit that target. You know, if we have a target of $25,000, it's really difficult to know exactly how many people are going to take advantage of the brunch, and also, you know, how the brunch works. Like, for instance, I was not aware until we were there that they actually counted plates, that we were charged by the plate. And so we adjusted to that after the first day by making sure that everybody got only one plate. And then there were a lot of comments on the negative side in the post-festival survey that people didn't like the fact that they were restricted to only one plate, and so forth. They felt that, like, it was very confusing and that there was, like, some bait and switch going on. But it was simply a matter of trying to contain costs, because being charged by the plate means that, you know, we could incur cost of more people than what we actually had. And so aside from the fact of it being very difficult to estimate how many people are actually going to show up and eat at the brunch, then, you know, you have that additional uncertainty about the number of people per plate, or number of plates per people. So that made it very challenging. And then the other issue was that, okay, do you set a number of plates and say, you know, we don't go over that, and in which case you're turning people away? And so we didn't do that, in part because I knew we had the grant sitting there, and so I decided it wasn't worth the ill will of saying, okay, once you know, these plates run out, then we're done. So I don't know. There are arguments to be made on either side for having more control over that. But I will just say that is just a hard target to hit. If you have X number of dollars, then, you know, you can try your best to get close. And we got within 3,000 of that, I believe. But it's a very hard target to hit.
I could be wrong, but wasn't it much higher than 3,000?
No, because part of it was from the banquet stuff from the Friday night that I didn't know was separate until far later. So yes, it was, but no, it wasn't. And I didn't realize that was budgeted for after. Additionally with that, I was just wondering, and this is kind of hopefully tying into Cedar Rapids too, from what I saw, we didn't like plot out with the food and beverage, like the additional costs that they tied in, which is where a lot of that 3,000 extra came from.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that in any of our contracts, and so Mike might be able to just, like, keep an eye on that, you know, for garbage and people, and I can't remember all of the things right at this moment, but there was a lot of those little extra things that I know they tack on, like, with weddings, and they would do in a banquet setting at a convention center, too.
Absolutely, and that's the other thing is that, you know, convention centers are going to nickel and dime you to death. You know, mm-hmm. you think everything thought through and planned out, but then all of these last-minute charges or things that you just don't even consider would be a charge, suddenly show up. And, you know, I think that's, I think, you know, historically that's been our case every time we're at a convention center. I will also point out that we actually came out pretty good given that, we were the only client in the convention center for that entire week, which means that we had use of that lobby where they set up the brunch. We had use of the front lobby for all of the additional activities that we moved out there. But otherwise, we probably would have been charged for space for that brunch, because that's meeting space just like everything else. But because we were the only client in there that week, they let us have that lobby for the brunch, and they let us have the main foyer for all of the other activities. And I think the lobby for the brunch, they probably would have done, just because brunch is a high ticket item, and you know they are getting their money through that, so it's not at no cost. But I can tell you that the main foyer out front, where we had X Games, X juggling, as well as the games, and several other activities out there, just, it was invaluable in terms of real estate, because otherwise the gym would have been a lot more crowded than it already was, and it just those events just would not have had the magic that they had being out in the lobby.
No, I agree. I think that was a great location. That was really phenomenal. I like the circular kind of style of it too.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Jim, do you have data on how many brunches were purchased or eaten, not purchased, I suppose, each, or how many we were charged for anyway, each day of the festival? Because that will be useful information going into this year's festival.
Absolutely. And I am pretty sure that is broken out somewhere in our invoices with El Paso. And I will definitely.
I didn't see it anywhere.
Really? So it's just a dollar figure, Afton, for each day?
Yeah. No, it's just a dollar figure, period.
Okay.
If I recall. I don't have it right in front of me, but.
I have them all, too.
Yeah, I believe I've got that somewhere. Let me look for that,
okay.
And I'll make sure that gets in the final report.
And if
that'd be cool.
If you don't have it, please contact El Paso and ask them to give it to you, because that's a legitimate request.
Well, we have it all, Martin, and I broke it out and I used that to plan the brunches for Cedar Rapids.
You know,
excellent.
you have the data per day, you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. How many we were charged per day.
Okay.
Nice.
Good. One more comment. On the plate issue, the problem was that when people were told, oh, no, you only get one plate, it wasn't, people weren't told, you only get one plate because we're charging by the plate. We're counting people by the plate. That needed to be propagated, that information. So nobody understood that. We just thought, okay, they're just trying to save on dishwashing or something. So
no.
I think people would have been more understanding if they'd been told the convention folks are charging us by the plate.
I think that was communicated, or to the extent that I communicated that fact, because, you know, that to everybody that came through the line.
To everybody who came through the line?
To the people that were working the front desk, we told them, basically, yes, that it's one plate per person. Not that it's we're being charged by the plate, but it's one plate per person.
Yeah, well, we're being charged by the plate is the information that I think you needed to get out. Because that would have explained why it's one plate per person. And
yeah,
people would have been more understanding.
Since we didn't advertise it that way, it's really not one of those things. I don't really think it would have mattered to anyone except people who understand that the festival costs a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think also that...
Which isn't our jugglers.
The confusion came because the first day we did not charge by the plate. And it wasn't until at the end when we realized that they were charging by the plate, that's when we came up with the policy. So that added to the confusion. Didn't understand why it was one way one day and then the rules changed for the next day.
But in fact, the rules didn't change, right? They charged us by the plate on the first day. We just didn't know it. Right?
That is correct. Yeah.
So in fact, they ended up charging us for more people than we had on the first day. And that's one,
he corrected that. He went back and corrected that. And I don't remember, we didn't get it exactly, but he did reduce the number of plates on the first day once we realized what had happened.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Thanks. Yeah, and I will also say that the convention center staff were extremely accommodating all week. And you know, it was very clear that they were trying to get our repeat business. But, you know, they were very accommodating in that way and willing to work with us. But it's still just the nature of the beast that that they charge, you know, every micro service that we consume, that we'll see that on a bill somewhere.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, we were charged $18 per person plus 20% service charge. We were not charged sales tax. And our quantities ranged from 225 on Tuesday to 345 on Saturday.
Go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to correct that. I think most days were $18. But every day, depending on the menu we selected, was a different price.
Oh, yes, correct. I think Tuesday was 18, then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday were 16, and Saturday was 15.
Yeah.
Our total bill for the brunch was $28,407.60.
Well, this is Scott. I'll say this. I thought the brunch was wonderful to have as a
I'm disappointed that they weren't thankful they were getting a free large meal, because that really could probably make people serve their breakfast and lunch, that they were complaining, because I thought it was a wonderful perk to have for the festival.
Well, we can barely hear you, Scott. The other thing that
I somehow got off of speaker. I said it was a wonderful blessing to have that as a perk. For most people, that was their breakfast and lunch, and I'm disappointed that they weren't just thankful to have a free meal.
Based on the number of attendees we had, we spend about $70 to $80 per attendee on brunch.
I also want to, maybe I left the impression that people weren't grateful for the brunch, but that was by far the most mentioned thing in the question of the survey of what they liked the most. You know, by far and away, brunch was the most popular thing of what people liked the most. They liked the fact that, it's an opportunity to sit and visit with, other jugglers that you might not have visited with, but also just I think the quality of food was better than I was expecting, and I think it was definitely better than most attendees were expecting.
I'll say that the $25,000 or $28,000 spent of Kiwi's money mostly on the brunch was worth a hell of a lot more than the fund, whatever that generated. So I would take the brunch over all the money we spent on other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll also say that I also underestimated how many people would be at the brunch, number one, because I didn't think that the brunch, that the food would be that good. I thought it would just be, you know, regular institutional convention center food, which normally is mediocre at best. And so I thought that there would be a lot more people that would take the opportunity to go out and eat in the area. But the proximity of it being right outside the gym and also the quality of food made the brunch a much bigger hit than I anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, this is Nathan. I gotta say that that menudo soup with the tripe was top notch. Really dug that. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely a very good point. I think this is good information, and Mike has the data and the feedback as well. If you want to work with Dan to kind of iron that out and maybe even communicate the plate situation a little bit more so people understand that at this coming year's festival. But, yeah, I think that was a very great thing.
Yeah, for the theater. You want a hand?
All right. Another thing I wanted to ask about, Jim, was could you talk a little bit about the rigging situation? What kind of brought that up with that cost and then ultimately that not coming through and the incurred cost remaining? I'm a little curious about that because that was not just the fact that it didn't happen, but the cost itself was higher than I thought it would be. And just a little bit of background on that.
Originally, you had thought that that cost us $4,000, but I don't think that's the case. Afton, am I correct that you actually discovered that the rigging was not that much?
Yeah, so that $4,000 expense on the rigging was not just for the rigging. It was literally the labor for the entire shows. They just didn't break it out. So when I called and was like, what is this? They were like, oh, it's for the whole week. I'm like, oh, next time break it out. We thought it was just for this rigging.
Perfect.
That's how you have it ordered.
Right.
So.
That makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, I can tell you that what we did lose, and that still, I mean, it was very unfortunate because we brought Amanda Crockett in specifically for her static trapeze routine. She also did a hat routine in the welcome show, and so that was great. But the main reason for bringing her in was a static trapeze routine. And we had been told when we visited them in July that, yeah, no problem. We can do aerial rigging. That's not going to be a problem. Well, the guy that was working with us in July retired right before our festival began. And the new guy wasn't actually sure if it could be done. And so they actually went out of their way. You know, they did charge us for some man hours on Friday, which is the day that we weren't in the theater at all. But they were going to spend Friday trying to figure out how to make the rigging work. And they were able to make it work, but it was not to the satisfaction of the artist. The artist did not feel safe on it. And so we made the call, said, look, if you're not safe, if you don't feel safe enough to do your routine, then we're just going to scrap it. And so we went, we scrapped that act, and we begged another act from Tui Wilson instead. Now, we did lose some man hours on that rigging for them to be able to figure out that, no, it's not sufficient. But it was just like, I think it was like their regular rate, which is like $20-some-odd dollars an hour for two people, for about 4 hours on Friday. I think that's essentially what we lost.
Okay,
yeah, it didn't
that
look
makes
any
sense.
Different than the contracted amount. Once it was broken out, it was really,
yeah.
Really close.
Okay. Yeah, I know initially that we thought that the $4,000 was just for that one failed rigging apparatus. So I feel a lot better, and if the artist didn't feel safe, totally get it. So all right, that answers my question. I guess, Jim, like, knowing what you know now, as having directed this festival, if you were to direct a festival again, what would you do differently?
Yeah, that's a question that I have been asking myself, and, you know, I get flashes of inspiration on that, less so as we get further from the event. But certainly there are a lot of things I would do differently. One thing is that I would keep a tighter control over the entertainment budget, and not only the dollars for stipends, but also the number of rooms that we promised to guest artists. I sort of let the directors, Steve Wiswell and Aaron Stevens, sort of take control of that, and we ended up going way over. There are a lot of little things like that, again, unfortunately, I didn't tie them all up in a bow in a report like I should have. But I will keep thinking on that over the next couple of days and get that in a report. And most of it are things that, you know, I don't really blame myself for not realizing or not seeing those things coming. But it's just one of those things that hindsight is a lot clearer. And certainly I would, you know, there are some things that I would handle differently. but being pressed to name those off the spot, I can only think of a few.
No worries, Jim. But yeah, if you could put those in the report, it'd be helpful, because I kind of want to share some of this with Dan as well as have for our own kind of knowledge. But yeah, I wouldn't expect you to be able to rattle them all off right now. But yeah, I that would be good to have in your report. I guess another thing I wanted to ask you, and you can answer this a little bit now, and then if you want to expand upon this in your report, that'd be good too. But I guess my question for this next point is, how could the IJA being defined as the board members and the year-round officials, what could we have done to help you more or make your role as a festival director easier?
That's an excellent question, and I don't know of anything right off the bat. I mean, I realize, having been on the board myself, I realize the pressures that you guys face in terms of making sure that the IJA is in the black, you know, has good fiduciary standing. So I don't really begrudge any of that in terms of oversight, because I understand that that's necessary, but I will also give that some serious consideration for the report.
Excellent. Sounds good. Any more questions for Jim, guys? All right. Well, thank you for that discussion, Jim. We look forward to reading your final report. You know, I guess you're welcome to stick around if you'd like, but there's really, it's not necessary for any reason. Yeah.
Yeah, just anything else that you guys want to know on the report, because I've never actually seen a final report for a festival. So if you have a model report you want to send, that would be great. Otherwise, just let me know either now or by email what questions you have and things that you would like to see in the report.
Okay. Yeah, in my experience, it's pretty much just a written report, kind of like you were doing for the festival each month, only this one a little bit more expanded. Talk about, you know, a little bit about the financial side, you know, how things went, what you thought was good, what didn't really work, explain any things that need to be addressed, the stuff we talked about. The only thing I would suggest is avoid doing what Veronique did 2 years ago and just wrote a high, lows, veins, crushes report and sent it to us. That wasn't ideal, but I, yeah, so, but yeah, just keep in mind what we had, and, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. So we look forward to reading that, Jim. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Thank you.
Yep. Okay,
Nathan,
moving on.
I do have to get off the call.
Okay. Well, I think
I just have a quick.
Shoot.
I just have a quick. I know, right? I just have a quick, I guess, question for Mike, and I will email Dan as well. I would like the festival budget back in Drive, because it hasn't been being updated like it was said it was going to be, and. With Dan's chart of pre-reg, I was a little confused as to the actual, so I would like to see that in motion so that I can help stay on top of it and make sure that we're on budget and we aren't rushing at the last minute to do a bunch of things. And then additionally, if there are performer contracts, I made a folder for them, and so I can't pay people without performer contracts. So.
Yeah.
Those are the things I need. I'll email Dan. I've been talking with him about it this week as well. So, but I thought he was going to be on the call tonight. So.
Yeah,
okay,
he's running out of Go ahead, Mike.
As far as the budget spreadsheet goes, I am updating it. And I just find Google Drive spreadsheet function to be absolutely horrible. So I'm doing it in Apple Numbers, which is a lot better for me. I can publish snapshots to those or share them through other means, but I just don't really want to have to use the Google Drive spreadsheets web app. It's just awful. So I'm happy to share that.
Okay.
And
if I can get a file, if you can download it as an EXE file and upload it in there, that would be really great. And then you don't have to enter it at all. You can just upload it. But I'd like to see it in relatively real time.
In what format did you say?
An EXE, or would be XSL, an Excel file. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do.
And so you can just upload that straight into Drive.
Okay, no problem. I'll put it in there, but it'll only be a snapshot, and I'll update it. Well, I do updates about every week or 10 days, and so I'll put them in.
Okay,
in the festival folder.
In theory, you'd be able to, that'd be great. In theory, you'd be able to download it. I don't know how Apple numbers work, but you'd be able to download it as an XLS file and then upload it into Drive. So then I can download it and have a working copy.
Right. Okay, and as far as the performer contract, I've been asking Dan for those for 2 months, and he still hasn't sent any to me to file.
I will continue to hound him then.
I'm pretty concerned about that myself, so I would like to have the board impress upon him how important that is.
Does he have signed contracts?
One more time? Oh, there's no signed contracts anywhere. He says he has them, but I haven't seen them, which means they don't exist.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I've mentioned this to him multiple times. I've sent him the letterhead, the templates multiple times, so...
Me too.
Yeah, just real quick, we're kind of jumping ahead here, but one thing I had planned is he's not on the call, so for his festival report, I wanted to gather a list of questions and concerns from the board and shoot those over to him after this board meeting. You're welcome to reach out to him personally as well, Afton, if you like, but I'll include this concern on the list as well.
That'd be great. Anyway, I have to go. Shoot me an email or a text if you guys have any other questions or things that you need me to do.
Sounds good, Afton Benson. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Afton.
Alrighty, moving on to 2017 Festival Report. Like I said, Mr. Holzman, he has some logistical issues, so he's unable to join us. I see Mike put some information here. It looks like we are doing pretty well with the pre-reg, right, Mr. Sullivan?
Yes, we're about 30% above on both quantity of people and revenue. So that's good. And since last year was pretty much record low attendance, if we get a rebound just to our 5-year average attendance, we'll be in really good shape. You saw my summary report of the Flash Reg snapshot, and I think the numbers left to go for both adult and youth are very attainable. So we should I think we'll comfortably make our budgeted numbers for pre-registration revenue.
Cool. That's good to know. Further discussion, when I talked to Dan on the phone, he just told me to pass along that everything's going great with the festival, in good shape. We did have one performer drop out, he said. Marvin Ong will not be performing in the closed show. He's not going to be at the festival, apparently, so... But I think Dan was going to plug in Jeremiah Johnson or someone else to that show to fill that void.
Okay, Nathan, could you impress upon Dan? Could you impress upon Dan that he needs to notify me as well as Mike with any changes like that? We have to update the website so that we're not advertising someone who's not going to be there.
Is he on the website? Is Marvin on the website?
I imagine so. As part of the flow.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website now, and I didn't see him, but I thought that, like, you had taken him down, or was he never on there to begin with?
Well, if he's not there, I don't know, but I swear I remember seeing his name. But,
yeah, I thought
same here.
He was in the long write-up of all the features that went out in February, I think, Martin.
Well, he might have been in the newsletter, but somehow not on the website. But anyway.
Interesting.
Dan didn't say anything to me about this, so he's repeatedly made this mistake. So could you impress upon him the importance of notifying the web team of changes?
Yes. Okay. And like I mentioned a minute ago, I'm going to treat part of this like a bullet point topics for Dan that I'll send out and CC you all on. So Who's taking notes? Louis? Yeah, Louis. So put some bullet points here in the discussion section. Questions for Dan. Put Afton's questions, first of all, the one about the contracts. What was the other one she had? The other one. Mike answered that one. Yeah, just the contract situation. The next one is mentioning to Dan that he needs to communicate with the website team about any changes in performers, events, etc.
That includes for additions as well as reductions.
Yes, additions or reductions. Okay, a question I had to ask for him, I just want you to put it here so I don't forget, is if he has contacted the honorary award recipients, other than Gina, obviously. Okay. Other questions and concerns, board members?
This is Scott. I know that the 11 o'clock shows that are being planned for, you know, for the festival are not included in the price of the registration. Is that clear when everyone's registering and everything? I was just a concern that people are going to be like, what do you mean I have to pay extra for these shows? I've registered and bought the pack.
Well, we're trying to make that clear. We've made it clear in any place we can think of. In the write-up for each show, it said $10 extra ticket. When we sell the festival package, we tell them that their package includes all the shows in the Paramount Theater. And I think we make reference also to additional shows that are optional and extra cost in the U.S. Cellular
Center. Okay, I'm looking at that now. I see that. All right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure we weren't setting ourselves up.
Probably won't hurt to add an item to the newsletter, this week's newsletter, to remind people of that fact.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I wasn't entirely clear on, but I might just not be quite as with it, and I wanted to see if anyone else was a little ambiguous about this. But is everybody clear on how the individual prop competition is functioning, how the busking competition is functioning, and how the coaching lounge is functioning?
Nope.
No.
Okay, I guess I'm not the only one.
Really quick before we move on, this is Ian. I have something else.
From a very brief mention Dan made of the coaching lounge, it's just going to be Richard Tennyson sitting in the room waiting for people to come in, and he'll give them 5 to 10 minutes. To review a bit or a routine or a trick and give them feedback, and that's it.
I really think that needs some sort of organization or process in place, because I could see that being a free-for-all. I really don't want to put... Yeah, exactly. I really don't want to subject Richard to a free-for-all. So maybe some sort of sign-up sheet.
It'd be best to leave it up to him how he wants to run it, since he's a professional coach. So
of course. I just want to make sure that he's in communication.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we should ask him how he wants to run it and publicize that. And then when he gets there, he can run it that way.
Okay.
Sure, I think that's a good idea. And in particular, you know, if he's going to have a sign-up sheet at the festival, then we can advertise that in advance so people know that's how they get into the coaching team.
Okay.
Or if he wants to have a sign-up sheet online in advance, we should know that, and we emphasize that. So, but I agree that there should be something. As for busking, Dan's message says send email to him if you want to enter the busking festival. That's basically all we know at this point, except that there will only be four finalists in the busking.
Okay.
And that it's like 9 a.m. Saturday or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm guessing.
Okay. Does he? Yeah, I'm especially concerned about the judging mechanism, because I know that's been very complex in the past and changed a little bit from year to year.
Yeah, pretty much every year it's changed.
Yeah. Okay.
He may be assuming that there's a standard you know, judging mechanism that he's, that somebody just needs to apply for this year and that he's not going to be responsible for that. I don't think, you know, I don't think he's going to be trying to judge the people, but he's presumably going to be prelim judging them, or perhaps having his friends look at them, look at their videos or whatever they're submitting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll put that in there. Other concerns I have, I wanted to check with him, and I think this would probably be on Jack Kelvin, but to make sure we have awards for ex-juggling, because if I'm not mistaken, those are usually provided by Jack himself, and I think he even makes them sometimes, so that's not something we typically acquire, and I just want to make sure that's still agreed upon and covered. Am I correct, Martin? Does that sound right?
Well, he did make a...
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I don't know much about it.
He did make them and bring them last year, and I would presume he's going to do it again.
Okay, well, yeah. I just don't want to presume too much without getting a final okay, especially since it's an expense for him. But, yeah, okay, ask about that. Another question I have that I wanted here to remind myself to ask him in this list is Amron Rosenthal is going to be showing up doing a workshop on how to make magnetic clubs. I believe right now it just says info coming soon. So I'd like a write-up as far as what people need to bring and what to expect for this, because it's my impression that they're taking their own supplies and then he's going to walk them through that. So, yeah, get some information on that. Another thing, clarification, verify that Jayco is going to be doing videography. Also confirm that Emery Kimbaugh is going to be doing photography. What else? Anything else, guys?
Parliamentarian, I think that should be the responsibility of the board to arrange for the parliamentarian.
I agree, Mike. Okay. Dan's responsibility is reserving the space and making sure that's set up, and the responsibility of actually acquiring the parliamentarian is essentially on me.
Okay.
I'm not optimistic I'll find one in Cedar Rapids, but I'm going to try my darndest. So, yeah, I will definitely be looking at it.
And we're only 2 hours from the state capital, so.
Yeah, it could happen. I didn't think I'd be able to find one last year, and, you know, found a guy who was willing to travel from Albuquerque, so that worked out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah, I mean, that's on me. As far as I'm aware, he's done everything he needs to with that, including budgeting, but that's on me, essentially.
What about Henry Benson, the second videographer?
Yeah, I suppose we could check on him. Jayco and Henry Benson. Was he there last year?
Both of them. I think there
were both of them have been comped? Okay. Yeah, I know him and I don't know. Like, I know they both do it. I don't know how much they work together or, but yeah, that's a good point, Martin. Thank you.
I don't know how, if Henry is comped or half comped or what, but he certainly has been shooting video.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that Dan's really been pushing that I'm just completely boggled on. Are you guys familiar with what's going on with the whole water snuggling event?
Very little detail right now. The fellow there in Cedar Rapids, David Lammers, is waiting to fill us in after their board meeting this month. And so we'll have a lot more details soon, I hope, because they have both a fundraising function plus the demo/workshop they're going to discuss at this month's meeting.
Interesting. So I guess we can wait on that one then if you guys are pending a meeting or hearing back from them. Okay, that's fine. Anything else, guys? Going once, going twice.
We will be putting out a newsletter this week, and so anything you want publicized about the festival, or for that matter, anything else, this is your last chance to get it into this newsletter.
Just a
couple of days left because we won't be finishing it till late this week, but the sooner the better.
Hey, Martin.
How was that?
This is Scott. I'm home now. I pulled up on our website under the extra shows where it talks about the Flow Glow and Diablo show. Marvin is listed there.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that definitely needs to be taken down. Thank you for that information, Scott.
This is Ian here. Quick question. Are they going to be selling the show tickets at registration? Like, can you buy them all at once, like in previous years, to pick them up at the same place?
Yes.
And do you think the shows will sell out? Is it worth doing, like, a pre-sale or having them available ahead of time for people who might want to purchase them?
I would encourage people to buy them during the day. We will probably sell out the Davidson show and possibly others.
But they're only available for on-site purchase.
Correct. On-site at the IGA table or at the door, all quantities last.
Okay, thank you.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts? All right, moving right along. Future festival planning. Mike Sullivan, I see you have some developments here, Mike. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, well, you know that I visited both Peoria and Fort Wayne since February 1st, and I believe Fort Wayne is the clearly superior choice. Just has a lot more of the things that we want. Negotiating price to where we want it to be for Fort Wayne will be a little bit of a job, but I am fairly confident they will come to where we want to get because they really have enthusiastically and passionately pursued us. I think we'll have a better festival, more fun, easier, less hassle, better choices, better facilities for our jugglers in Fort Wayne. However, as you see in the agenda, Peoria came in with kind of a Hail Mary pass and offered basically to pick up the tab for all of our space and labor rental in their center, which also includes the theater. The problem with Peoria is the center is very large and the theater is about three times the size we need. And they don't have any other theaters in downtown. So our theater shows would look very, very empty. We would only fill up about a quarter of it.
How big is the theater?
What's that, Martin?
How big is the theater?
3,400 seats.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit big.
Yep, too big. And the center is too big as well, which means that our jugglers have long walks from the hotel to the meeting rooms, to the gym, to the workshops, etc. Fort Wayne is just much, much more convenient. Downtown Fort Wayne offers us more in the way of food and drink. Very, very excellent, excellent facilities in Fort Wayne. So although Peoria would be an easy choice if we were looking only at the bottom line, I believe Fort Wayne still offers us the best experience. It will be within our budget when we get done negotiating, I'm sure. So I would still urge the board to approve Fort Wayne, and I can keep Peoria's offer in our back pocket in case we're not able to reach suitable terms with Fort Wayne, which I doubt. And I can also use Peoria's offer as part of our negotiating leverage with Fort Wayne if it comes to that, but I don't think it will. So that's all I wanted to add before any questions or further discussion.
Sounds like you're suggesting that the board approve negotiations with Fort Wayne.
Yes, that's all I ever asked for, is I asked the board to authorize me to begin negotiations to bring us to suitable terms for our festival.
Okay.
There's a guarantee that we will, but every time that we've tried so far, we were able to.
Okay, I just wanted to say that because you said you were going to ask the board to approve Fort Wayne.
And that wording is a little odd.
Right. To approve that we move forward with Fort Wayne, which would mean that I then tell them that they have been selected and we now have to come to terms on all of our contracts.
Well, I have to argue again. They haven't been selected until the negotiations are complete and a signed contract is signed. So I wouldn't say they've been selected. They've been selected to continue the negotiation process.
Sure.
It sounds a little too much giveaway to say they've been selected.
Okay. Yep, you're right. I mean, they know what we mean, and I know what we mean when I tell them that we want to move ahead. So there won't be any confusion with that.
Okay.
Okay, so that being the case, we might have to reword the motion later on in the agenda. So let me make sure I'm clear on this proposed process. We would vote on to proceed with negotiations with Fort Wayne, and then if you had a contract, we would vote both to approve Fort Wayne and the contract as one motion, and that would be the final deal afterwards. So two motions, one for negotiations, one for approval of a contract. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm asking the board now to tell me to go ahead and begin formal negotiations with Fort Wayne for final contract.
Right. So I understand that. Yeah, I guess my thing was we were voting to approve Fort Wayne because that's the one we're going for.
Right.
But if we need to reword it, I guess we could do that. So, okay, sure.
And the approval of the contract and agreeing to go to Fort Wayne will be a later date, whenever the contract...
Right. Obviously. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we can reword or kill that motion or whatever to instead proceed with negotiations. Any questions, comments for Mike? One question I had, Mike, is what do you think the likelihood of say Peoria, we want to do them at a later date, like say 2020 or 2021. Do you think it's likely we'd also be able to get that financial assistance in the future, or is this a one-time opportunity?
I would say it's probably likely. They offered this unprompted. This came out of the blue. I went there without any kind of incentive offer in mind. Just based on the strength of what they showed us for pricing and facilities. But I think the biggest thing with Peoria is the showstopper is the theater is just too big. And no matter what price we got it at, it would just not be good for our shows. So, you know, I think theoretically they would like to have us in any future year, but from our standpoint, unless they can find another theater or make that theater smaller, it's just never going to work for us.
Interesting.
I also want to keep everybody's memory clear that we are expecting by the end of this month a very strong bid from El Paso to return in 2020. So I'm kind of keeping that in reserve for our 2020 festival sites, and I'm hoping that that comes through.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
As you see at the end of my report, what I asked was that the board select Fort Wayne for our festival venue and ask the board to authorize me to enter negotiations to achieve financially viable contracts with all the venues. Obviously, if we can't get contracts that are suitable for us, we're not going to go.
Right. Okay. Well, board, it's up to you. If you want to kill the motion as is or if someone wants to make a different motion, depending on the wording, it's, you know, whatever you guys feel more comfortable. It sounds like there's some... arguments to more eloquent wording.
This is Scott. I think we have Mike as in a role that we have trusted him with for quite a while that seems to work out. I'm not opposed to authorizing him that if he given the responsibility and the experience he has. For him to actually engage in a contract, if it gets to the point that
it's a financially viable contract.
That's the way we've done it every year that I've been doing this, is I make my recommendation, the board approves the recommendation, and then we seal the deal with all the contracts, and we haven't struck out yet.
Right, and that's as it is written now, but I guess the ambiguity disagreement comes in just simply rewording to approve the site versus going forward with negotiations for the site. I think that was Martin's contention. Is that correct, Martin?
Yeah, if the motion did say you were going to approve the site, that's just wrong.
Yeah, okay, so there is a motion that says just that. I'm just saying that we'll have to either kill that or, you know, make a different motion because that's, you know, apparently not direction we want to go.
Well, whatever we have to do, I really want the board to decide on this tonight. We don't have any time left.
All right.
There's no reason
the board can't
substitute a different motion, kill that motion, create a new one, whichever way you want to do it, and vote to approve Mike to proceed with negotiations, which would provide a potential contract, but not, of course, to sign the contract.
All right. I got it. I know exactly how I'm going to do this. Thanks, guys. I hear you loud and clear, Mike. We're moving on. We'll get to that motion in just a bit. E-Juggle report from Scott. I received nothing. Membership from Maryland. The numbers are there. Any discussion on membership?
I know that we've been talking about the email to try to drum up some former members. Martin, any timetable on when that email might go out or what steps we need to do to get that out?
It needs to get to the top of my queue. And
okay.
that's been pushed down with a lot of work on the website and the newsletter. So
all right, that's fine. I just want to make sure you weren't waiting on me.
No, I'm waiting on me. Sorry.
Okay.
No worries. Good communication, guys. All right, so well, that'll get out probably, I'm guessing, within the next couple weeks, right, Martin? Is that reasonable?
Sure.
All right. Great. Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see when it goes out. So yeah, thanks for writing that, Scott. Thanks for taking that on, Martin. I think it's going to be a very positive thing. Moving on, like I said, I believe Aaron's traveling, so I did not receive any marketing reports or any IRC reports. Jumping straight to motions for consideration. Motion A, the motion to accept the final 2016 festival profit and loss statement. It's attached there. Would someone like to make this motion?
Shavela, I will.
Delightful. Thank you, Shavela. Do we have a second?
This is Scott. I'll make a second.
Very nice. Discussion. Been talked about and talked about, and I think we're finally there. Okay. Jumping straight to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of the statement? Any abstentions? All right. Statement is approved. Moving on to motion B. What I would recommend is that when I read this, nobody make the motion. And if nobody makes the motion, it never gets made. Then we can just axe it and then move on to a new motion that is worded differently. So I'm going to read off this motion and then just nobody make it unless you really want to vote on it as worded. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes.
All right. Motion B, motion to approve Fort Wayne, Indiana as the site for the 2019 IJA Festival. Would someone like to make this motion? Motion is not made. Would anyone like to make any new motions? Okay, this is Nathan. I would like to make a motion to approve Mike Sullivan to proceed with contract negotiations for Fort Wayne, Indiana as our potential 2019 IJA Festival site. Sound good?
I'd like to second that motion.
All right. Delightful. Thank you, Scott. Just a reminder, I made that motion, so whenever you get down there, Louie, thanks. All right. Discussion. We went over this already, but any other thoughts? Cool. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose, or I'm sorry, yeah. Does anybody oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? The motion passes unanimously. Thanks for the hard work, Mike, and let us know how it goes. Looking forward to seeing the contract.
Thank you very much, everybody. I'll call them first thing in the morning. I know they'll be delighted, and we'll get right to work on contacting all the venues for contracts.
Happy to hear it, man. Thank you much. Cool. All right, moving on to Varia. I just had one quick item on here just because we're getting kind of close to festival season. I just kind of want to check in on how things are going on the brochure and literature side of things.
I have a postcard I did up. It was last minute today that I put it up there on our board. If you guys want to check that out and give me any feedback there or things that could go on or go off, it's membership benefits and stuff. And I also got a price of about 1,000 postcards for $110.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
That's not bad, no. So maybe we'll get 1,000 printed on our first run. My buddy just received some PX4s from Italy today, and in the box are EJC stickers, which is kind of fun.
Ooh.
So they're giving out stickers to different manufacturers, so every time you get a shipment of something, you get a. So we might want to think about something like that in the future, getting a hunk of things to all three-finger juggling and some other places so that whenever they send a box of props out, one of our flyers go in there with them.
Interesting. Louis, do you need any, I guess my main concern was if you needed any, like, content or feedback. You said you just posted the flyer or the first.
Yeah, I did. It was a little late getting out. I was hoping to discuss it some here, but if you guys email me and have a look at it, there's content on there. Some of it's from old postcards in the past, and I kind of mushed it all up and added some things and rearranged some.
Now, is that on the Board Plus forum? Is that where you put it?
That's on the Board Plus, yeah.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so I guess board members can all stop by here, give Louis feedback, and we can hopefully get these finalized,
right,
or more or less finalized in the next few weeks. Because I know we talked about doing two versions, a fun version and a faction, and like a more informative version. Do you still want to proceed in that direction?
It won't be hard if I get some fun facts. I didn't do the fun facts one. I just did more of the membership benefits one.
Okay. We might have to touch base with somebody for some fun facts. Yeah. All right. Cool. Any more discussion, thoughts on that? All right. Well, we'll hop on over, and I'm looking forward to seeing them, Louie, and getting some discussion going, and hopefully get these guys going. Cool. Any more discussion on any miscellaneous topics?
Shavela, have you made any progress on grant for Iowa?
I'm just going through it this week. I haven't made any progress besides looking over our information. So the only thing I've done is gone and made sure that we haven't missed all the deadlines. So I've gone through several websites, and looks like some of them have deadlines in June. So it looks like we're still good to be able to get some grants.
Cool. Do you think you'll have, like, you can give us more of an update in a couple weeks at the vision planning meeting, Shavela?
Yeah, I think we spoke about that at the last one, that I'm going to do an update on that and get to work on Where in the World is Bob Detweiler as well. So.
Sounds good. We can touch base then. Awesome. Cool, guys. Anything else?
If there's anything before that, of course, I'll send out an email or put something on the forum.
Awesome. Much appreciated. Okay. So in case, we're going to just jump straight down to setting our April meetings. So let me take a look at my schedule here. So if we go 2 weeks from today, that would be what, the 10th? Yeah, if we went 2 weeks, that would be the 10th for April. And 2 weeks after that would, in fact, be the last Monday of the month, the 24th. Do you guys want to do the 10th and the 24th?
Works for me.
The 10th is Passover. If anybody's observing that holiday, that might be, could be a potential issue.
That's a good point.
As far as I know, I'll be available, even though it is Passover. I don't know if I'm doing anything yet. I haven't talked to my family.
All right, well, I'm available, but if anybody, if that interferes with anybody, we can absolutely change it. So I'll leave that up to the people on here. Is that going to affect anybody?
It does not affect me.
Me neither.
As of now, it doesn't affect me. If that changes, I'll let you know. Should be okay.
Sounds good. All right, well, let's go with the 10th and the 24th. Cool, guys?
Yes.
Perfect. Nice.
All right.
Great.
Moving on to item 9, adjournment. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Ian. I'll make a motion.
Oh, my God. Ian beat me.
Oh, he edged out. Payback. Come on. I see a rivalry in the making. All right, guys. Good stuff. Moving to a vote. Any discussion? Good. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose adjourning? Any abstentions? All right, guys. We are officially adjourned at 8:47 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all. Thank you.